They're the biggest lizard in the natural state. But a University of Arkansas researcher says eastern collared lizard populations are declining fast because of fire suppression. The lizards are about a foot long, and their most noticeable features are the black stripes around their necks. The males are usually a striking blue and yellow. The collared lizard makes its home in glades, basically a small slice of desert in the Ozarks. Glades are open and sunny, home to grasses and wildflowers. But as Casey Brewster, a doctoral candidate in biology, tells Ozarks at Large's Susanna Sitek, glade habitats are diminishing too, and that has an impact on collared lizard populations.
So eastern collared lizards live in several states in the U.S., but when we're talking about them here in Arkansas, where are you most likely to see them?
Any habitat, this what we're calling glades, which is still, not all that well defined, but any of the more open habitat where you have that rock structure, the rock structure is really important to them. We still have quite a few populations on private land, but most of the populations are on government land, on national forest and those lands. In the northern part of, so the Ozark Highlands would be where you would find their best densities along the White River and a couple populations on the Buffalo. You get into the Boston Mountains, they pretty much disappear for the most part. There's a couple populations in the Arkansas River Valley. And then once you get in the Ouachita, same thing, they pretty much disappear there. But historically, the entire interior highlands region was collared lizard populations throughout.
And the populations of this lizard in Arkansas are in decline. I imagine when this happens in animal populations, there can be several reasons. You're looking in your research at one reason in particular. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
As you mentioned, there's always, almost never do you have a situation where there's one factor driving something. But what we have thought for many years that the primary factor is this glade encroachment, that loss or of the quality and or the loss of the habitat altogether. And that's usually, in reality, that's a natural process to some extent, in the aspect that you have succession, right? So you have the exposed bedrock that over time, without any type of disturbances, fire, anything else, is slowly going to turn toward a forest. But historically, the fire helped maintain those habitats. And obviously, you want to have a lot of diversity. We typically had a lot of diversity through our forests. It's not, or through the Ozarks, in the aspect that it wasn't just forest. You have savanna, prairie, and everything else. But without fire, that succession sort of overtakes those other habitats and turns it all more into a woodland type habitat.
So as you were looking at this, is the issue with the lack of fires to maintain these landscapes, is this a man-made problem? Is this something that would have happened anyway?
So it depends on your timeline and how far you go back and then who you look at. But what we know is before European settlement, fire frequency was much, much greater than what it has been post-European settlement. And post-European settlement, purposely, if you own land, you don't want it to burn, so you actively try to stop it. And then agriculture creates barriers, boundaries where fire can't move. And so a lot of these different factors reduced it. And then the Forest Service for many years, or up until recently, their practice was no fire exclusion. So all those things combined meant that fire frequency over the past few hundred years has been much less frequent than what it was before European settlement.
And your research links these fire suppression tactics to a rapid decline in these collared lizard populations.
Yes. I don't think that it was something that folks had noticed up until more recently in the past, 30 years. There had been folks that were, that had mentioned that it seems like, as these habitats are getting more encroached and becoming less and less, it seems like we're having less populations. But it wasn't quite so obvious until more recent times, where we've seen, 60% decline in populations that were known to be around, just a decade or so ago. So we've definitely seen a pretty a pretty obvious correlation between the two. And so then the question that I was interested in is, could we quantify that? And then number two, can we find out what are the mechanisms that are actually causing that?
So what did you find out?
Okay, so the paper that that I just published showed that that there is a strong association between woody vegetation encroachment, so that succession, and the growth rate and reproduction rates of lizards living in those populations. So the lizards live in those populations. If they are still here, many of them are not, but if they are still here, you see that they grow much slower, they're smaller animals, and they have much lower number of eggs per year. So that, we believe, is contributing to population declines. I mean, mathematically, you know, that would make sense. And so we know that it has something to do with that. Now, the rest of my dissertation is focused on really getting in the nuts and bolts, which I'd love to talk to you about, but I don't know if you want me to start going down that rabbit hole.
Let's go down the rabbit hole a little bit. We won't go all the way down the rabbit hole, but what are the key takeaways from some of these nuts and bolts that you are looking at?
A good way to summarize it. So when you have a woody vegetation encroachment, that creates a lot more shade. With more shade, the daytime temperatures end up being much cooler than what you would see in a wide open glade, what we would really typically call a glade. That colder temperature means that lizards are active in the morning at a much later time and go to bed much earlier than the other lizards. And they can only digest at a temperature where they digest their food at temperatures that they would experience during that midday or the part of the day where they're out able to actively bask. So that means those lizards living in those encroached sites spend much few hours on a daily basis at body temperatures where they can digest, which means they have less energy to grow and to allocate to having babies and therefore causing populations to decline. And eventually with population declines, you always inevitably have population extirpations or extinct population extinctions or local extinctions. And so all those tie together, we believe, to be the primary explanation to population declines.
So right at the beginning, we talked about how these lizards do have a large territory across the U.S. But what is the status of the collared lizard in Arkansas specifically?
It's actually considered a species of greatest concern, which just means that we know that populations are declining at an alarming rate, and we know that there is risk of local extirpations in certain areas. We know that, like in the Boston Mountains, they're close to, if not, you know, on the edge of extirpation from the Bostons completely. Same thing with the Ozarks. Their only real viable populations, for the most part, is in the River Valley and in the Ozark Highlands, down into the White River.
So when we talk about local extinctions, I mean, obviously the animal is alive and well in other parts of the country. So why do these local extinctions matter?
Yeah, no, that's a really good question. So you think about, as an ecologist, or you're thinking about the diversity of our Ozarks, our beautiful Ozarks area in Arkansas, or then it really, the reality of it is interior highlands. These habitats that we're talking about, these glade habitats, they're very unique. They're very diverse. They have totally different animals, totally different community, plants, everything. It's more of a desert type unique habitat. And probably the most important predator in those habitats that is tied to those habitats is this collared lizard. So not only is he really cool, really neat to see, kids love him. I mean, you know, anybody that sees a collared lizard notices right away. That's something you don't usually see, the diversity associated with it. But not just that, its interaction with those habitats, which again are unique and historically common throughout the Ozarks and has become much less so. So it's all sort of that tied together type thing. So
how did you come across collared lizards and how do you study these critters?
I started out looking at some real specific questions in my master's that collared lizards worked pretty well on. I wasn't thinking about, you know, bigger ecology type questions or conservation really at all. But at the end of my master's, I realized how good of a study species that system is, the collared lizard, because of those unique or tight-knit colonies that they live in. It makes it a lot easier to answer certain questions. But then I also realized there was virtually no conservation work. No one was really focused on conservation of collared lizards in Arkansas, and that meant that there was, you know, it really needed to happen. And it's opened up a lot of opportunities with, from a conservation standpoint, with state and federal agencies in Arkansas.
Talk to us about those conservation efforts. Has this research led the state to take a closer look at this lizard?
They've really put a lot of effort into glade habitat restoration, which is the key. I mean, if you think about it, the only way you're going to save any type of animal that's, you know, that's losing habitat is to try to reverse that. And so you have a lot of money being allocated from Forest Service, U.S. Fish and Wildlife, Game and Fish Commission, Nature Conservancy. I mean, you name it, in Arkansas, almost all of them have some form of glade habitat restoration being focused in. So that helps if that population is still there, that helps them come back. If there isn't a population there, then someone like me can go and reintroduce lizards at a site that's been restored. So that's where a lot of those opportunities are.
So what about this issue of fire suppression, since it does play such a big role in why these lizard populations are in decline?
It's a really important part of the conversation, not only from, I mean, there's kind of two different ways. Number one, it's pretty much agreed upon that it's the only way to do glade restoration is through fire. There's other things that need to happen within there. You'll have to do some cedar removal, sometimes thinning, sometimes removing, you know, large patches of wood, knocking out non-native invasives. But really the only way you get the return of the right plants is through fire. So fire is absolutely necessary for that type of habitat, for sure. And but it's not that simple. You know, when do we burn? How hot do we burn? Can we burn here? Sometimes fire doesn't want to burn in this certain area. So, and timing of the year and everything else. So there's a lot that goes into the burning part that biologists are working hand in hand with the burn bosses and trying to figure out the best ways of doing it. And so yeah, fire is definitely a really important and much talked about part of the game. So,
when people hear about your research and about what's happening with this lizard and why, what are you hoping they take away from what you found out?
Probably the importance of maintaining habitat, and that, you know, whenever you see government agencies that are working on some of this land management, you know, a lot of times your knee-jerk reaction is that they're out there messing things up. I know whenever, you know, we started our project on cedar removal and burning over on the buffalo, you know, there was a lot of locals that were like, man, y'all are destroying this. And so, you know, understanding that a lot of the, more often than not, you know, what they're aiming at is trying to improve the habitat. And in this case, there is no way to improve it without removing some cedar and burning. And then number two, that a lot of these efforts are making progress. You know, a lot of times biologists give you a lot of doom and gloom, and that we're not getting anywhere, and, you know, it's all, you know, but this is a case where I really do feel like we are moving in the right direction. And with continued efforts like we are, we should be able to start seeing and quantifying populations actually coming back, and the number of lizards and the habitat qualities in the state improving. Are we close to it? No, but we are definitely moving in the right direction.
Thanks for laying that all out for us.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
That was Casey Brewster, a U of A doctoral candidate in biology, speaking with Ozarks at Large's Zuzana Sitek. Brewster's research on Arkansas's collared lizard populations was recently published in the Journal of Herpetology.